Today we're going to continue our passage series on spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Chapter 12, Pastor Yvonne talked about spiritual gifts, that it functions regardless of whether it's supernatural or non-supernatural. It functions to edify and build up the church. And then last week, Pastor Dan talked about what is the intent of the spiritual gifts. And the purpose and the intent of the spiritual gifts is so that we can walk in love. Now, today we're going to look at chapter 14. And it's interesting, in chapter 14, Paul mainly emphasizes two gifts, tongues and prophecy. And why is he doing this? It's partly because the early Corinthian church emphasized too much on this too. And Paul is trying to clarify the usage of these gifts. And today we're going to explore this. And because chapter 14 is so long, I'm going to read it through as we start our passage, as I share with you from the Word. So let's start with the word of prayer. Lord, as we share from the Word, may the thoughts and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to thy sight. And what is not of you, may we not remember, but what is of you, may we take it to heart and be transformed by your word. Your servant is ready. Your servant is available to speak your words for your purpose and your glory. Speak to us, Lord, along with your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, because this topic has a lot of perceptions and a lot of varied views, after I speak a message, we're going to do something different. We're going to have a Q&A session, a question and answer. So as we go through this message, feel free, if you have any questions, to jot it down, and I'll try my best to answer your questions. I don't have all the answers to it, but I'll do my best based on the scriptures of what the tongue is, why we speak it in tongues, what prophecy it is, and why that's important in our lives. So I'd like to share with you today from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we want to look at tongues and prophecy and how we exercise them. Now, what's interesting in chapter 14, verse 1, it says here very clearly, it says, follow the way of love. And so the intent behind spiritual gifting, even tongues and prophecy, is because we want to practice love. It's an expression. So your gifting that you have, that the Holy Spirit gives to us, the reason why we do this is because we love. And then he continues on and saying the importance of that. And we know from last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 13:13, let's say it all together. And now this three remain, faith, hope, and love, but greatest of these is love. So we need to understand spiritual gifting isn't that important as is love. And that's what's most important in our lives. And so some of you might feel like, man, I wish I could speak in tongues, or maybe I should have prophecy. It's up to the Holy Spirit who gives it to you. It's up to his decision to give it to you. Whether you have gift of prophecy or tongues, it doesn't make you a better Christian than other people. Do you understand that? It really doesn't make you better than other people. It's part of the gifts the Holy Spirit decides to give to you because he knows what is best for you. And so we're going to start out with tongues and prophecy. Before Paul talks about tongues and prophecy, he says here, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And so when he talks about the word eagerly, what he's talking about is we need to earnestly seek it. It's just like you want something, you'll do anything to get it. You know, my brother and I were in Seattle. And how many guys here are from Seattle? Washington? Okay. There's a place, a pink pho place that we always go. It's the original pho place, you know, Vietnamese restaurant. And it's his daughter's getting married that day. And we're in the morning, and my bro and I and my other brother decided, hey, let's go eat Vietnamese food. He said, we got to go to that pho place. Now, that pho place has two or three different locations, but not the same owner. And, you know, we drove 2.5 hours just to get pho with brisket on it. This is crazy. And the point is, if you want something, you'll do anything to get it. Is that true? Absolutely. And when he says desire something, it's like desire gifts like that. So if you look at Matthew chapter 7:7, it says, ask and it'll be given to you. Have you ever asked for gifts? Seek. Are you seeking after it? And you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So if you really want to desire it, ask the Lord for spiritual gifting. And you can be very specific. You say, Lord, if it is your will, give me the gift of tongues. Give me the gift of knowledge, teaching. Give me the gift of service. Give me the gift of helps. Whatever the Lord is in your heart that you want, ask the Lord. And then it says, seek it. Just like my brother and I were seeking for that pho place. You know, we went to 3 pho locations, drove 2 hours to get there. Knock, be persistent in asking for it. And you know what? If you ever want something, you got to be persistent. Don't say a no to be a no. Don't accept a no. No is a yes. If you really desire it, tell the Lord, yes, I want it. And go in this way. And why? The purpose of spiritual gifts is twofold. One is to help you grow closer with the Lord. But majority of the gifts are for the benefit of the community, where we can build up the community. And so Paul takes one of the spiritual gifts, which is tongues, as a way of expressing, sharing with us that it benefits personally you, but also can benefit the community. Now, the Bible talks about there's 3 kinds of tongues. One is private prayer language that you don't really understand. You're uttering it, but you don't understand it. The other one is a language in Acts chapter 2 that you're praying, but everyone could understand it. So like in Acts chapter 2, someone was hearing in their own languages. It could be Spanish, it could be Afrikaans, it could be Japanese, someone speaking it. And the third kind of tongues is that is uttered within church service, like here. But this is uttered pretty loud, but it needs an interpretation. Now, this kind of tongues, all 3 variety, is not praying to each other or sharing with someone, is praying to God. It's a prayer to God. It's not a, you know, something that we use, you know, publicly. It's often a prayer to God. And if God wills it, he'll allow it to be interpreted for people to be heard what tongues are saying. This reminds me of my first experience of uttering of tongues in public. First, I get really freaked out. How many of you guys ever get freaked out when someone speaks in tongues? And it's like, I don't understand what they're saying. And I feel like it's demonic sometimes. And I remember being in South Africa during apartheid years in 1986, in the middle of a church when there's so much suppression, there's so much, violence against racists. I was at this white church, and in the middle of the service, this person was uttering really loud a tongue. And then the pastor said, is there an interpretation? And the interpretation came. It was very helpful. And the word was, God will bring peace to this land. And, 3 years later, apartheid was abolished and brought peace to the land. So sometimes it's done that way. And so Paul talks about how it's used. Let's look at verse 2 and 3. For anyone who speaks in tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So when you start speaking in tongue, you won't understand it. Nor the person who speaks in tongues, who hears you speak in tongues, won't understand it. So the question is, why do you do this when you don't understand this? And often, the reason why it's often done is it's a prayer language to God. So it can be done for intercession. It could be, there's certain things that's deep inside you cannot convey. You guys ever had some deep thoughts you want to share, but you couldn't communicate that? Any thoughts like that? I do. I have certain things I want to say, but I cannot communicate. The Holy Spirit uses tongues to share with God your deep thoughts. And sometimes it's a known language, as I shared with you. Acts chapter 2, 120 gathered, pray to God in a known language. And it's a prayer language where we speak to God and no one understands it, but it's beneficial. For intercession is beneficial in really searching. The Spirit knows the thoughts and the minds of your heart, and He lays it before the Lord. What you cannot express verbally, He knows. And that's what tongues are. So it's a private prayer language addressed to God. Addressed to God. And sometimes we don't understand what we're saying at all. Now, prophecy. Prophecy speaks to people. Let's look at this following verse in verse 3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So, you know, the purpose of prophecy is different than tongues in that it speaks to people. One commentator writes it this way. Prophecy can be defined as speaking for God under the inspiration of the Spirit, included foretelling the future, explaining difficult parts of Scripture, and teaching Christian belief and behavior. And so the person who prophesies speaks to edify, exhort, and comfort. Edification is building up. Exhortation is encouragement. You know, like, how many guys are athletes here? Ever played team sports? Basketball, football, softball, you know, the coach. What is the purpose of the coach? Not only to teach, but give a pep rally to give you confidence before a game, right? And that's what this word exhortation is. I believe in you. I know you could do it. I know you can do it. You have all the skills. Now, comfort means to console and strengthen. So when we prophesy, we're exhorting, we're comforting, we're encouraging. That's the purpose of prophecy. And so there's an importance, though. What is the importance, then, of tongues and prophecy? Verses 4 and 5. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, and the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, if you look at verse 4 and 5, it sounds like Paul is saying, don't speak in tongues, or don't do this, don't do that, especially when it comes to tongues. That's not what he's really saying. What he's saying, within the church context, if you take two gifts, the ability to speak in tongues and the ability to prophesy, I would have you do prophecy because it encourages people. Tongues, people cannot understand. And Paul himself says that he speaks in tongues. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And so he does wishes that everyone could speak in tongues. And what we need to understand that it is a blessing for those who do speak in tongues because it gets you closer to God. You guys want to get closer with God? Get the gift of tongues. Ask the Lord to give you the gift of tongues if the Holy Spirit desires to give it to you. If the Holy Spirit decides to give it to you. And if he doesn't, it's okay. Holy Spirit knows you can get close with God without speaking in tongues. That's an amen. And so what he's saying is, it is a blessing both ways. Tongues for your spiritual closeness with God. Prophecy to benefit the church, to edify the church, to encourage the church, to comfort the church members. And so it helps us both ways. Verse 6, now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? So Paul reiterates the importance of tongues. If it is spoken in public, let it be a revelation directly from God. And also he's saying, look, some people have the gift of knowledge. They can share that as a community. And he's being redundant again, saying tongues is for your own personal benefit to get closer with God. Prophecy is for the benefit of the community. So let's look at the usage of the tongues and prophecy. Tongues can be used both ways. One, we can use tongues in our own life, verse 15 to 19. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you're praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is not put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one is edified. How do I use tongues again? Personally, I can sing in tongues. I can pray in tongues. It is a freedom that God gives us to exercise this. It is not to distract others. It is saying over and over that God wants you to do this as a form of thanksgiving, but know this. People will not understand what you're praying about, and they're not going to say amen to it because they don't understand. Just know that. And know that when you're singing in tongues, don't expect others to say amen. Again, they don't understand. And the gift of tongues, again, is directed to God and gets us closer to God. Now, the use of tongues within the church. So let's say the Holy Spirit wants to use you to speak in tongues with translation, verse 26, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may be built up. So here, when we come to church service, it's not just about hearing a sermon. It's not just about singing. It's also a time where we can allow tongues to be spoken, where we can allow it to be spoken with translation. So if you say it in public, make sure there's translation. But also, you can pray out loud in tongues. Know that. We need to respect that because the Lord is speaking to the individual who's praying out loud in tongues. So how do you differentiate whether it's prophetic or not? Usually, what we exercise is, as a pastor, I exercise a time of silence in hearing the Lord and waiting on the Lord. And someone stands up and speaks in tongues, and I would say, is there a translation, interpretation? So you can worship and speak in tongues. It's fine. It's a private prayer language. But the purpose of coming to church in speaking tongues is to edify the church. So this is when we talk about public, maybe prophetic word that the Lord once translated. This is what it is. And it comes with interpretation. Now, within this context, how do we use the gift of tongues and prophecy within this setting? It says here in verse 27-28, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. So we don't want to have church service dominated by 15 gazillion tongues speaking with interpretation. It says two or three. And it says, if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. So if there is no interpretation, no one can. So there's this gift of interpretation. Someone can speak in tongues and someone can interpret and speak out loud what that was spoken. Now, if there's none, it is what it is. Don't speak more. There's no translation. No one understands. So what Paul is saying over and over again is allow this to happen. And I do encourage you all, even within your small groups, and even within church service, there will be some times. The reason why we're going through encountering the Holy Spirit is to allow you to experience this and do not be afraid. Because when God works, he works in a very mysterious and powerful way, but really wonderful experiences can happen. Now, when we talk about use of prophecy, what we're talking about is verse 29 and 30. Two or three prophets, again, two or three prophets should speak, and others should weigh carefully what is said. And it's a revelation that comes to someone who is sitting down. The first speaker should stop. So again, a balance. Two to three tongues, two to three prophecy. And the gift of prophecy, you need to understand, when a prophet speaks, it doesn't always have to be a person who's just prophet. It might be within this church context. Unknowingly, you might be very prophetic in saying something. And so if you hear a prophetic word, there's guidelines. And the first guideline is test the spirit if it is from the Lord or not. Look at 1 John 4, 1 and 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come out into the world. This is how you can recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard in coming, and even now is already in the world. Test the prophecy. Say, Lord, is that you? In the name of Jesus, is that you? Speak. If it isn't, don't speak. Don't give me comfort. And you should also use the word of God as a judge, because the Bible says God's will is perfect, good, and peaceable, right? Make sure you have comfort in that when you hear prophecy. One thing I want to say is this. The Bible does not say who you should marry. Psalms says this. There's four things I don't understand. A lizard on a hot rock bed, and not frying, a big ship controlled by a small rudder. Fourth is an eagle up in the sky, not falling for a long time. Guess what's the fourth one that I don't understand? The way a male and female fall in love. So we don't prophesy on that. I'm not going to say, oh, John, I think the Lord told me you should marry Mary. That's not biblical. So this is really important for all of you. Know the word of God. Thy word I have treasured in my heart. Know it. Meditate on it. Know it inside out. If you read, most of you who are college students or graduate from college probably read more than 100 books. Is that correct? In your life? Right? I think so. Okay? Have you read the Bible 100 times in your life? Well, study it. Know it. Because the Bible, the Holy Spirit wrote. And this is the way you can check if someone speaks prophetically, whether it's God or not. Confirm. And the other part is confirm. So let's say a prophetic word comes to you. Confirm. Are you speaking to me? You know, my son... Was a professed atheist when he went to college, agnostic and almost to an atheist. And thank God for COVID. I think it's the best time for COVID for, as a parent, because I got to spend time with my sons and my daughter, 3 out of 4. And during that time, he was searching, and he joined a small group that's through Zoom, in New York, and he happened to be in session with his pastor. And the pastor said something that no one told him about. He only knew. He only knew this. No one, I didn't even know about what happened. And I still don't know. But what I know is that when he heard the prophetic word, he confirmed it. And for 6 hours, he was crying in his room, listening to Near My God to Thee. That's his conversion experience. This is what prophetic words do, but you got to confirm it. It's either with you or with others who will confirm the same thing. Confirm it. We're human. We can make a mistake. And don't ever say, God said this and this, because in prophecy, you don't know if God said that. Even though you confirm with the Lord, the way I say this, I think the Lord said this, and I submit it to you because I'm human. I can make a mistake. And that's the best you can do. But it's used to transform us. It's used to speak to us. So verse 31, 33, continue on. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So what is the purpose of a prophecy? Everyone to be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as all the congregation of the Lord's people. So the purpose of prophecy is everyone can be encouraged, instructed, and this prophecy will give us some direction. And when we speak, we are responsible in how we speak. You know, the Message Bible put it this way in terms of tongues of prophecy. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, each of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. If prayers are offered in tongues, two or three, the limit, and then only if someone is present who can interpret what you're saying. Otherwise, keep it between God and yourself, and no more than two or three speakers at a meeting, with the rest of you listening and taking to heart. Take your turn, no one person taking over. Then each speaker gets a chance to say something special from God, and you all learn from each other. If you choose to speak, you're also responsible for how and when you speak. When we worship the right way, God doesn't stir us up into confusion. He brings us into harmony. This goes for all churches, no exception. So put it in a right way when Eugene Peterson interpreted it this way. You know, this is time where church gets encouraged. Prophecy, tongues is part of it and allowed it to happen. And so do I mean that when you come to worship service, you shouldn't speak in tongues? Verse 39, 40, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Notice here, do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in fitting and orderly way. So be eager to prophesy because God wants to use that. God doesn't forbid you to speak in tongues privately as a prayer language. It's okay. And if you hear someone speaking in tongues publicly, say that God has given that gift to pray. Maybe he might be praying for me. Amen. And not fear it. And let all things be done in decently in order in public, because each one of us respond differently. And so here, when we think about tongues and prophecy, I talked about tongues as a private prayer language. You pray to God. It benefits you. And if it is used publicly, there needs to be interpretation. And then here I talk about prophecy. The purpose of prophecy is to comfort, to encourage, to direct, and to guide and exhort us. This is used for public. It's not about me, but you should test it. Make sure both. Make sure it's from the Lord. And let the Word of God be one of the guides as well as accountability partners to confirm what is spoken in prophecy.